Turn your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 2, and I will be fortunate if I get through a verse and a half today, but I will try, but I won't get very far. Philippians chapter 2, and I want to do something a little unusual. Since we're reading about Christ, I want you all to stand. We stand for the president. And I think we need to stand when we read about Jesus Christ. Amen. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your precious word, and we pray that you would encourage us today from the truth of the scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. C.S. Lewis, in trying to describe and illustrate the Lord Jesus Christ coming down, put it this way. In the Christian story, God descends to reascend. He comes down from the heights of absolute being into time and space, down into humanity. But he goes down to come up again and bring the whole ruined world up with him. One has the picture of a strong man stooping lower and lower to get himself underneath some great complicated burden. He must stoop in order to lift. He must also disappear under the load before he incredibly straightens his back and marches off with the whole mass swaying on his shoulders. The incarnation is the central facet of the Christian faith, that God in flesh came down, Jesus Christ came down in flesh and became a man. This passage of scripture is sort of called the diamond of the whole New Testament because it explains it in such a clear fashion concerning this Christ. It is a description of the second person of the Trinity condescending to be born, to live, and to die in human form for the redemption of fallen mankind. The first thing I want you to notice is he starts out by giving a definition of humility and service. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What is that mind? Though he is God, he gave up all his right to exercise his power as God and was born a human being to go to live a life to ultimately die on the cross for us. One writer puts it this way: "Don't forget that in all of this wide universes and all the dim reaches of history, there's never been such a demonstration of self-effacing humility as when the Son of God in sheer grace descended to this errant planet. If he were the kind of God who looks only on his self-interest, he would have never did what he did." Jesus Christ left heaven to wrap himself in humanity, to ultimately go to a cross. And he says, "Let this mind," that attitude, whoever you are, whatever your position in life, important or not important, give up your rights and be a servant and be of help to people. Work to get along with people. "In you" is plural, which means he's talking about the members of the church. "Let this mind be in you," the church. The act of humility. Jesus Christ voluntarily gave up his rights and voluntarily received abuse and received ultimately death because he came to be a servant. He could have exercised his power at any moment, but he didn't because he loved. We don't want to have in our church, "You want to do it your way, you want to do it your way, you want to do it your way, you want to do it your way." No, we work together, and in humility, we realize that we're not that important. We are here to serve and to be of ministry to other people. The way of humility is not the way of the world. It is especially not the choice of honored leaders who are expected to take best of everything for themselves. They are courted the highest places of honor and respect and are expected to be served rather than to serve. But this is not God's way. This is Jesus Christ coming to us. Second thing I want you to notice is the deity of Christ. Notice in verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. There are three statements in this verse that point to the deity or to the fact that Jesus is and always will be God Almighty. The first is the word being. It is in the present active tense, and it means to continue in a state that has already been. When it says he is being in the form of God, it means that is his state. He's always been that. The way the tense of the verb is designed, he's always been God. There's never a time that he was not God. He has always existed as God. The word form may throw you off a little bit. But the word form refers to the outward manifestation of an inward reality. Form means as to his nature, he is God. Some translations will actually say that as to his very nature, he is God. He was always, as to his nature, God. He's always existed, being in that nature as God. And it stresses that has always been who he is. He's never been anything else. He has always been Almighty God from all eternity. He is God. Before the incarnation, Jesus preexisted in the divine nature of God, equal with the Father in every way. The word form is the word in Greek morphe. And it means the essential form of a person which never alters. Schema is another word that has to do with form, that has to do with the outward appearance that may change. Let me give you an example. For instance, the essential form or morph of a human being is humanity. We are human. But the essential schema or fashion that he uses in the later verses is that we are changing. We are first a baby, then we are a child, then we're a young child, then we're an adult, then we're a teenager, an adult, then we become older. The outward fashion of us, and it was with Jesus, the outward fashion as a man, which he was changing from baby to child all the way through. But his essential form, his essential nature, was always to be God. And that never changed. C.S. Lewis describes it this way. Or you may think of a diver jumping into the water and gone with a splash. He has vanished, rushing down through green and warm water into black and cold water, down through the increasing pressure into the death-like region of ooze and slime and old decay. Then up again, back to color and light, his lungs almost bursting till he suddenly breaks the surface again, holding in his hand the dripping precious thing that he went down to recover. He and that are both colored now. They've come up into the light, down from where it lay colorless in the dark, where it lost his color too. The images of a diver going down into the depths to get a diamond or something and then come back up and bring it into the light. And now it is all clear. That is what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ, who as to his nature is God. But he wrapped himself in humanity and came down as low as anybody could go so that he could save you, so that he could save me. That's what Christmas is all about. Some will say, well, he was a good teacher, which he was. Some would say he was a good man, which he was. But if you do not say he is God, then you've missed the whole point and you've taken out the essence of what is Christianity. Only God can come and die for the sins of the world. I want to read for you several scriptures. Colossians says, who is the image of the invisible God. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, which is Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of only the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 8 says, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I was. John 17 says, Jesus said, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which has been given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Hebrews 1 says, God who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Jesus being existed as to his form, his nature, is God. He says the third thing, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Equality with God is another term to describe that Jesus Christ is equal with the Father. We understand the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, is equal with God. He often said, my Father and I are one. But he voluntarily left heaven to submit himself in humanity to obey his Father and whatever his Father said. He voluntarily submitted to that, though he was equal with the Father. He is equal with God. I describe it this way. Imagine if the president or the queen of England said, you know what? There's someone out there that needs to be saved. And so I'm going to remain being the president, but I'm going to give up all the right and authority that I have as president, and I'm going to go out there and live among the people. You may not realize that whoever the president is, if you ever look at film, there's always a doctor on call. They're always out of the film usually, but they're on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at any moment's notice. The president were to have anything go wrong, they're present right then and there. The Secret Service are always there, no matter where he is. The only place they are not is in the upper place in the White House, where they're private quarters, but they stand guard at the steps. They're always present. He always has the nuclear codes. He always has that authority as president. But imagine giving up all that right and going out living among the people, having no doctor on call, no one knowing that he was the president, no one knowing who he was. His clothes were just regular clothes, nothing of a distinguished man. No one recognized him as such. And he went out and he lived among the people. And he did it for one reason, so that he would be accused of a crime he did not commit. The president would say, you know what, I look down there and there's a man that I know is going to commit a crime. So I'm going to go down and I'm going to take his ID. And when they come looking for the criminal, they're going to find me. They're going to open it up and go, aha. So that's the person that committed the crime, though it's not the real person. And the president says, you know what, I'm not going to tell them who I am. I'm not going to call the Secret Service. As Jesus said, I could have called 12 legions of angels. I'm not going to call the doctor. I'm simply going to take this man's place. And I'm going to be accused of his crime, though I have not committed it. And I'm going to go, and I'm going to go to prison, and I'm going to be executed for him. That's what Jesus did. He left the throne of heaven to come to earth to be something that he is not, to become a man, to be accused of a crime he did not commit, so that he would be punished for that crime. The Bible says it this way, not only in his deity, it describes the downward trend. Notice, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's an interesting word, robbery. It doesn't quite communicate it. It has the idea of someone that robs someone is to grasp something, to take something. And what the word means is that Jesus Christ, who being existing as God, as to his nature, and he did not deny that he was equal with God, he didn't hold on to that. He didn't grasp it. He didn't demand that I remain equal with God. He said, I gave it all up to become a human being, to live on the earth as a human being. I will not cease being God because that's who he is, but I will wrap myself in humanity and I will not claim my right and authority as God anymore. And I will simply give up that right and I will live among the people and I will be abused by them. I will be hated by them. Though I will demonstrate my power with miracles and healings, I will still voluntarily submit myself to be abused and hated by them. Though he was fully God and remained God in his incarnation, he did not grasp or hold on to his divine rights and prerogatives as God. He remained God. When you read the Bible and you see Jesus Christ, he existed as to his nature, God, but he didn't hold on to the rights to be God and the sovereign power and his ability to do whatever he did. He remained God, but he gave up those rights so that he would voluntarily be submissive to the Father and do what he said and ultimately go to the cross. He's like my illustration. The president remained the president, but he gave up all his rights to be accused of an innocent crime. He gave up his rights as God and suffered the worst possible humiliation rather than demand the honor, privilege, and glory that was rightly his. The high priest accused him, and he said often, he knew they accused him, why are you going to crucify me? Well, you claim equality with God. You claim to be God. That's why they crucified him. That's why they hated him. And he said to the high priest, I can call 12 legions of angels right now. I could exercise my right as God and end this here and now and do away with all of you if I wanted to. I could be like the president. I could call the Secret Service and you're getting ready to put me in prison. You're getting ready to crucify me, but I could call the Secret Service and end this right here and now, but I will not do that because I voluntarily have submitted myself in humanity to let you put me to death so that I would be crucified with a crime I did not commit and I would be put to death for you. He rose from the dead. What is my salvation in and what is your salvation in? It's in Christ. I'm not going to heaven because my daddy was a preacher. I'm not going to heaven because I'm, quote, a good person. I'm going to heaven because I put my trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who left heaven to go to the cross and be crucified in my place. Though he is God, he wrapped himself in humanity. You know, first of all, I can't imagine any politician giving up any rights to that political power. Much less can you begin to even comprehend any human being doing that. Can you imagine the president of the United States, if we couldn't recognize him, come in here and wouldn't know he was the president, act like he was just a regular person, and we didn't know he had the power and the authority that he has, and he suddenly said, you know what, I'm going to be accused of a crime. My goodness, what kind of man would do that? A man who loves people. Why would God do that? Because God the Father knows that he cannot forgive sin without punishment. And so he, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit had an arrangement. The Son would come. and he would wrap himself in humanity. And though he remained God, he would give up the rights to that. And he would be punished in your place, in my place. And the Father would pour out all the wrath of sin upon him. All his hatred. To such a point that Jesus would cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he did. Say, does God love you? I don't know, preacher. I've got bad circumstances. Things are not working out right. Well, friends, the great love of God is that God the Father, God the Son came to earth and gave up all his rights as God to die for you. And that's why the Bible describes the great love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus, who as to his nature is God, did not grasp, that's what it means, thought it not robbed. He didn't grasp, he didn't hold on to that equality with God, but he came down to earth as a man to die for you and I. Does God love you? Romans 8 says, if he spared not his only Son, how much more freely will he give us all things? And then Romans 8, what we love to read and understand is that though tribulation or trial or nakedness or peril, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, because God has demonstrated it fully at the cross. And if the cross is not important to you, then you have gotten off kilter a little bit. The cross must be the foundational stone of all that you understand about God. I am right through his Son, and I appreciate that. You know, if the president were to give up his life, and we found out later on, do you know who just went to that prison and was put in the electric chair and died? Who was that? It was the president. What? The president? Yes. He did it because he loved you. What an ungrateful person who would be not to receive that and rejoice in it. God's love reaches out to you and say, how do I know? Because Jesus came down. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you that Jesus, though he is God, being in the very nature of God, he did not grasp and hold on to that, but gave up his rights to come as a human being and to die. He never ceased being God, because he can't be something that he's not. But he was God in human flesh. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.